Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware. And I'm here eating a whole bag of crisps before dinner.
Yep.
Delicious.
Okay.
Lenny's here. Looking divine.
Lenny's here been cooking, darling, because Jessie arrived a little late.
Well, are we speaking about ourselves in third person now? Because
yeah.
Jessie was busy making a new record, and Jessie did the last three. So Jessie says,
so
go.
So it was all left to Lenny.
Oh my God, it's a band breaking up, Mum. Stop. Thank you for your
pleasure.
Services.
It's okay.
What's on the menu tonight?
A simple meal.
Great.
But everyone loves it.
So you don't feel too tired by the meal? I'm just clarifying.
So there's no shopping, no prepping, nothing.
No,
okay,
no,
fine.
I'm fine. Had a little flirt with Steve and Ginger Pig, didn't you?
Had a flirt with Steve
gave
and
you
Ginger
extra
Pig.
Meat.
Gave me an extra slice.
Love that for you.
I think actually knowing a butcher well is probably the most life-enhancing attribute you could possibly have. So Steve said, I'll put another one in for you.
Thanks,
all right?
Steve.
Thanks,
love,
Steve,
love
Ginger
you, Steve.
Pig. We love you.
So what are we having?
So we're having the best ginger pig sirloin, tagliata, which
what
I'm going to
do. What does tagliata mean?
It's chopped up, I mean, I think. That's
I think
what
we've
it
done
means.
This a few times, but that's
we've
okay.
Only, we've done
good.
It three times,
Russell Tovey.
No.
Stanley Tucci.
No, it wasn't Russell Tovey.
It was? Yeah.
Oh, and I was giving Rocky meat under the table
his
to keep
bulldog,
in.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, and I'm going to put some rosemary and lemon on. After I've seared it both sides, just as a little juice with all the juices from the steak.
Do you do it with butter or oil?
I'm not doing it with anything. I'm going to do it in my new Hexclag pan, darling.
Oh, because you are
a Hexclag person. And I actually
cousin,
think
the bear.
Yeah, I think it might be better without anything on because it will sear it better.
In the Hexclag?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I might put a little bit of oil in. I'm not putting butter in because he doesn't have dairy, darling.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to avoid killing him.
Okay.
He's allergic to peanuts and seems to be allergic to eggs and doesn't eat eggs and dairy.
Okay.
So everything's done with olive oil. And then I've done a baby gem lettuce and avocado salad.
Fab.
Then I've done some slow-roasted tomatoes.
Gorge.
And some grilled asparagus. Pardon my carbon footprint. Because I'm sure it wasn't made. I'm sure it wasn't harvested in Kent.
No, it's not asparagus season.
No,
is it?
It isn't. But okay. I really fancied it, and I've done little baby potatoes that weren't very baby; they were very grown-up potatoes, and I've done them in olive oil and rosemary and garlic.
Yum!
So that's
so
very
like
simple
steak dinner.
Steak dinner
sounds delightful, Mum. We have Jacob Collier coming on the podcast now. Jacob Collier, if you don't know who he is, I don't know where you've been. He is a multi-instrumentalist, talented, soulful musician, artist who has collaborated with everyone from Stormzy to Herbie Hancock to Hans Zimmer to Michael McDonald. So Jacob Collier is kind of a big deal.
Okay.
And you may have seen videos of him where he gets the audience to become a choir.
Yeah. I've
now think about thousands of people singing. And these are people that are coming to enjoy an artist, but they are having to partake. And the sound he gets out of them is stunning. So we have the brilliant Jacob Collier coming up. He's got a new album out called It's D-J-E-S-S-E. Yes, but I'm going to say it's Jesse. Jesse Volume 4. And it's got Shawn Mendes on it. It's got Stormzy. It's got Michael McDonald. It's he's got a new single out with Camilla.
Camilla who? Parker Bowles.
She's just
queen.
She's like Cher. She just calls herself Camilla. But that's coming out in February. So he's got the album coming out later in February and the single coming out. So right. I think he's coming on to talk about some of his music. But he knows the drill. He's going to be fed. And we'll be talking about food.
Practiced his last supper.
Jacob Collier coming up on Table Manners. Jacob Collier is here in so much colour and making me very happy.
Yeah, you've really cheered up this
room. Oh, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Is that a rainbow vape on your neck?
It would appear to be a rainbow. It's in fact a rainbow ocarina and it goes... I was once at a party in New York City, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I was approached by this girl, extremely intoxicated, just having a merry old time, who was convinced it was a vape. And she said, oh, can I have a go on it? And I thought she meant, like, give it a toot.
You were like, oh my God, the girl of my dreams.
I was like, go ahead. And then she kind of went, and I said, no, you're supposed to sort of breathe out. You breathe out into it. And it was, yeah. And it just didn't make a sound. And then we kind of parted ways, and that was the end of the story.
She wasn't for you,
She wasn't for me, but that's okay.
Ocarina, isn't that what, like, Zelda has?
Ocarina of Time.
Is that...
Yeah.
That is a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Do you play Zelda?
I used to a lot, actually. I played the one after Ocarina of Time, which is called Wind Waker, which is
Is that another music instrument?
It was... So Link, who's the main character of Zelda.
I didn't
think we'd be here at this point
in
the conversation.
Sorry, babes, yeah.
So Link conducts in the air, and depending on the shape that he conducts, it's kind of like up, left, right, whatever, he can change the direction of the wind. And I mean, for so many reasons, I just loved this so much. You know, the idea of like magic and the idea of conducting the air. And all, I just, a lot of it was just like, yes, yes, yes. So that was like my main
Zelda
protocol.
Maybe you should do like the next soundtrack for Zelda.
That sounds great.
Babe.
Yeah.
I think I just got you your next
gig. I'm totally down for that.
Do you always wear colours?
Very often.
Who knitted your jumper?
This, I don't know the name of the person.
It's beautiful.
But I appreciate it.
Is it warm?
I like pink. It's nice and warm.
Yeah.
It's a little kind of, well, how can you put it, high? It's like a... It's like
a
almost,
short,
like, almost
a
like a crop
short.
Top.
Yeah, but it's fine.
So it's chic.
So it's
great.
Warm,
but then
it's warm on the top.
Off those pants, which
a little. Yeah, that's true.
And then babes, it's bloody January. I know you love your Crocs, but at least get the furry ones, doll.
So I have some furry ones, but I'm wearing two.
Are these your own brand ones?
They are. These are the Jacob John.
But how are your feet? You've got frostbite.
I've got two pairs of socks. Tricks of the trade. But yeah, this is the Jacob Croc.
But I do think that maybe you should do a winter fur version.
I would be down.
I think that's what they need to
see.
Sort
of are you his manager now?
I'm sorry. Yeah,
this is amazing. I'm just getting all these ideas.
Zelda, winter Crocs.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cheers. You're here.
Cheers. Lovely to meet you.
Really lovely
thank
to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Cheers indeed.
I mean, I feel like I know you with your beautiful voice. Your voice is, your voice is stunning. I was playing Mum the song with Michael McDonald on.
Oh, yeah.
And I went... And she went, oh, Michael. And I was like, no, that's Jacob.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Michael hasn't come in
You've
yet.
You've got the gravelly voice there.
So actually, the first person who sings on that song is my friend Clyde.
Okay.
And Clyde is in a band called Lawrence. And Lawrence are featured on that song alongside Michael McDonald. So you may have mistaken me for Clyde, who has an amazing voice.
Does he have a gravelly voice?
He goes, like that. Which is the Michael McDonald thing, which I adore. I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah, because lots of your chords are quite Doobie Brothers. Like,
Totally.
Do you love the Doobie Brothers?
I adore the Doobie Brothers.
Me too.
Do you?
I feel like you love everything, though, about music.
Yeah, there's something to love in everything, that's for sure. But the Doobies are filled with nutritious chords.
That album, every song on it, from...
Which one of theirs do you mean?
The one with Waterfall Blues.
Waterfall Blues is the best.
It's my best song, one of my favourite songs.
Oh, me too.
So, it's January.
Yes.
Your album's coming out in February.
That's true.
So, why is it called Jesse?
She thinks it's not after her.
I mean, it has a D in front of it, so I know it's not after
okay.
And we've just met, but Volume 5,
Huge fan, yeah. So, when I was a kid, my friends used to call me JC, because that's my initials, Jacob Collier. So it's like, hey, JC, let's go out to the park and play Ultimate Frisbee or something. And
was that what you were doing?
Things like that, yeah, in my ebullient youth. But... Anyway, I wanted to create a series of albums, so Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, Volume 4, that contained all the things I loved about music, which is a lot of stuff. Mm. And originally it was one massive, great big album, and then it kind of sprawled into two and three, and then eventually became four. But the idea with it being, volume one, volume two, volume three, volume four, was each of them are a different kind of universe of sound, different bunch of collaborators, different state. But they're all kind of this adventure that I went on, and I'm still kind of going on as this album's just been finished, in figuring out what there is to love and what there is to explore with. So it's kind of self-titled in a sense, Jesse being kind of JC, but it's also in some ways this kind of external character who's going on this journey that I've kind of populated this world of different things to play with and stuff. I've learned so much in the last 6 years making these four records.
How old are you?
Crazy. 29.
You're too talented. It's annoying. Really quite. You're an overachiever.
Oh, well,
Jacob,
well,
you're an overachiever.
I apologise.
Jacob, what was the first instrument you played?
Oh. Well, I suppose in some ways it was the voice. Probably the same with everybody. I'm curious what you would say to this, but for me, I was listening and speaking the same language of music. So I grew up as a child singing everything I could hear, which gradually became sort of more and more dense musical things. So you start by singing notes, and then you want to sing chords, and then you want to sing really dense chords. So I would layer my own voice on top of itself to be a bit like Michael McDonald, actually, the way he does
when
those
you were
stats.
Layering it, were you using software already?
I was. So I actually
when you
got,
were little,
yeah.
How young?
So I got Cubase, which is one of the various music softwares, when I was 7 years old, and it was me with my little SM58 and just getting on into the chords and getting filthy.
There's
with
nothing
it.
Quite like a good harmony, and you really dig them.
Oh, I dig them so much. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So I spent so much time with that whole world and stretching my voice. Yeah, I adored it. But piano was important for me growing up too. And then bass became more important in my teens. Played sort of double bass. And then I was always kind of tapping on surfaces. I've been told I'm not allowed to tap on this table.
Yeah, you're behaving yourself so far.
So yeah, and it's really hard.
So he played drums as well?
Yes.
He plays everything.
Yeah. So on the various albums I've created,
I tend
to play all the instruments. It's just one of the things. It's one of my hobbies.
So taking it back to Ultimate Frisbee, JC.
yeah, back in the day.
Where were you and who was around your dinner table and what is a memorable dish from your childhood?
Fantastic question. So I actually still live in the house I grew up in when I was 1, 2, 3 years old, which I feel really lucky to be able to say.
So you're still there? Are you there with your parents?
So I live with my mum and my two sisters, and it's been like that for so long, kind of as long as I can remember, you know. So all of the primary associations you make as a human, like this is a door or this is a tree or whatever, they were all formed and forged in this exact home. So it's such an intimate place to grow up. And there's one room in my house. I kind of took it over as my studio space. It started just the room with the piano in it, so it was with obvious gravity for me. But I've sort of since created this wonderful kind of kaleidoscope of different things that make sound in this room. I've made all 5 albums I've ever made in this room.
So hang on. So like Stormzy's coming over to Finchley.
Yeah.
Michael McDonald's coming.
Michael McDonald's I recorded in
Fair enough,
Los Angeles.
Not Michael McDonald.
That's a long way. But I've had all sorts of people. I think Tori Kelly's been over to my house. Umu Sangari's been over to my house. Jojo.
I've seen her live.
Have you?
Umu Sangari went with Jill and Johnny. Okay. Yeah.
Where did you see her live?
Was it at the Barbican.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
She's extraordinary.
She's
isn't she?
Extraordinary. And when she sings, she has all these beads in her hair and they kind of shake and they add to the percussion of the...
Oh, it's just
she's
extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
The amazing musician. She's like kind of like the Queen of Mali.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very different from, say, like having Jojo around.
Yeah.
But it's just an amazing room. It's like a shape-shifting room. It adapts to whoever's in it and supports. It's just like a magical place.
So what were you eating around the dinner table?
So to get back to your question.
Like we're going to talk about music quite a lot tonight.
Potentially.
And is food very important to you, Jacob?
Food has always been very important to me, and none more important than home-cooked food.
Okay.
If I had to sum up the first, say, 10 years of my life in one dish, I'd have to say it was the homemade apple pie.
Oh,
really?
Which just is... Still now it's just a staple.
Who makes it? Your mum?
My mum, yeah.
And does she do a crust underneath as well as on top?
Yeah.
Or just a crust on top?
No, so there's a pastry base and then a pastry at the top. But the thing about that dish is that there's no sugar in it. But it's just so unbelievably delicious nonetheless.
Because she uses eating apples, probably.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, yeah.
Was it quite a healthy household?
Yeah, I would say so. We didn't... Well, partly because I'm allergic to nuts.
Right.
I didn't grow up with a lot of chocolate because I was sort of advised, hey, don't eat chocolate. I didn't have chocolate until I was 13.
And how did that feel?
It tasted really weird. It's like, ooh. Because textually, it's quite alarming. It's like kind of
funny.
Alarming.
Yeah, it's
You're
funny,
not used to it. You think,
slightly waxy, I think.
Yeah.
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 Do you like it now?
Yeah, kind of.
God.
Kind of. It's weird. I never... Do you know what it's a bit like? It's a bit like Disney for me. I just came to it so late on.
That you don't get it.
That I didn't forge the like fundamental nostalgia. Roots. So I watch it and it's like, that's so much fun. That's gorgeous. I love the characters. But it's not like, that's my jam. Like if, when I see The Beginning of Lion King, it's like, that's an interesting plot. You know, it's not like, this feels like when I was 5 years old or 10 years old.
So you didn't watch telly. So you had, I imagine, musical evenings with your family.
Plenty of musical evenings.
Do your sisters play?
Yes, they do.
So you'd say...
The Carpenters. Just,
yeah, you can, you can say that.
The Von Trapps.
So you'd all say, let's play something tonight, just for fun.
Well, the thing we most like to do, which we still do, is we sing. And because there's four of us, we sing SATB, which is soprano, alto, tenor and bass. So a lot of the most like foundational repertoire for choir is written for SATB. So it's perfect.
What are you, bass?
I'm bass.
And who takes tenor?
My mum sings tenor because she can get down to like...
Selfless.
You know, down to these kinds of... Yeah, she takes one for the team. And then, my sister Sophie sings alto and Ella sings top and soprano.
So have you had a sing-song today?
We haven't, because Ella now lives in Germany. My sister lives in Germany. So
did you lose the alto? Mezzo or soprano?
We lost the soprano.
Oh, I'm
and so
sorry.
It's like, it's all the tunes.
Mate, I'm sorry about that.
So we have to adapt.
Can she ever Zoom with you and just have
no,
a little...
No, it never works on Zoom, does it?
The latency is tough. But yeah, many musical evenings throughout my childhood. But it wasn't just playing or singing, it was just listening and talking as well.
Popular music or classical music
A mixture. Yeah, I grew up with... I don't know how it was for you, but I grew up with such a like massive breadth of music. It was kind of like there was no difference from listening to, say, Stevie Wonder to listening to like Stravinsky, you know, like really amazing classical music, or maybe like Joni Mitchell or Bjork. Or it was just like, this is music. And so I was brought up to, in a sense, just kind of embrace anything as welcome.
But I mean, I know you can do anything, but I do feel like... Deep down, you're a soul boy.
I think there's soul in me, for
like, there's
sure.
There's a lot there's of a lot, D'Angelo going on with that D'Angelo. Leanne Lahavas song.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah,
so good. But, you know, I mean, you can do anything. And then, is it Little Blue?
Yes, yeah.
With Brandi Carlile. That's kind of James Taylor.
It's more folky,
and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah, but like you, you can do anything. But I feel, okay, so you were doing singing. You were eating apple pie.
Oh, yeah, it was a good time.
Playing Ultimate Frisbee. This sounds like a really nice childhood.
It was good fun, yeah, it was good.
How was it for you at school when I can imagine that you were so consumed by music? Was it hard to focus on other subjects?
Yeah, school was pretty weird for me. And it's funny because since leaving the education system, I think I've met more and more people who I feel like are my people who had a similar experience at school. Of kind of like, I just don't think the education system is necessarily designed for people who don't want to follow the instructions, if that makes any sense. And it's funny, I think my kind of temperament is to be often quite respectful to people, but also I'm quite irreverent. So I'll do things in ways that I don't expect or you don't expect or haven't necessarily been tried and tested before. I love the edge, but I'm also kind of like, kind of kind and stuff. So I think being at school, I didn't want to make people... I didn't want to sort of... I wasn't a big troublemaker at school. I didn't sort of want to cause a fuss.
Are you academic?
I wasn't...
You're clever, obviously.
I'd say I'm bright in a sense, but I wouldn't say that I wasn't extraordinarily diligent at school. I didn't sort of...
But the music department must have thought you were the...
Was there a good
the
music
god.
Department?
Well, I think that they found me quite irritating in a sense because the instruments would go missing from the cupboard and it's like, oh, Jacob must have been in. Or, you know, I played drums in my school band, the school concert band, so 60 students and, you know, you get handed out the music. And I've never been that good at reading music. And so the music was on the stand and, you know, the part just sort of was like really basic, kind of like doot, 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 for the whole... 5 minute piece. And I'm just thinking, like, and then it just really got under the skin of the conductor thing. Are you serious? Just, can you please just read the part? You know, so I think there was like a love hate thing with me and the
was
various
it a
music
school?
Departments. No, it was a really bog standard state school with every kind of person you can imagine. And I kind of loved that because it kind of, well, it takes the edges off, but it also gives you an access point to so many different kinds of people in the world. It's like, how do you think about this? How do you think about this? And I think in a sense it was good for me, but
did you go to college?
I did half a degree in the end, and then I kind of escaped halfway through.
What was the degree in?
Well, the degree was in jazz piano at the Royal Academy of Music, which sounds very academic. And in a sense it was. It's a really prestigious and beautiful institution that my mum studied at and her father studied at too. So I was like third generation at the academy. And the jazz course is interesting because it's jazz, for starters, is a big word. And I also have never really thought of myself as a jazz musician. I think I just thought of myself as someone who loves sound and chords and stuff. And so on the jazz course, you know, you learn a lot of old songs, you know, like Autumn Leaves and All the Things You Are and Stella by Starlight, all these really classic old songs. And then you learn how to improvise over them, all sorts of things like this. But I think it was kind of like by day I was studying jazz, and then by night I was like building this like cathedral of ideas of just like, oh, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And every day on the way to school, I would listen to a whole album start to finish. On the way home, I'd listen to another album all the way through from start to finish. And so I did like thousands of albums. It's like a dual process. One was like in the classroom doing the thing and following the instructions. And then the other was like building the inner world. And I've just always been so excited at that process, like build a world that feels true to you.
What was the album that maybe made you think I'm not gonna get on the tube tomorrow or the bus tomorrow to go back to?
I'm gonna stay in and do it.
Yeah. Was there a particular album where you were like, you know what, sod this, I'm not going back to Rome?
I remember when I did the whole of the Beatles discography in 1 week. Like that was a big week. It's a big week.
All of the Beatles.
You did the whole Beatles in a week, and you know, it starts off real chipper and all the great songs, you know, but by the end it's just like so deep and psychedelic and kind of, oh,
blows
it's just,
your mind.
It
yeah.
blows your mind. And so I think by the end of that, I was kind of like, what is music? You know, like, what can music do? This is just such a massive thing.
Are you hungry, Jacob?
I'm going to start.
I could do some food.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely do some
okay,
food.
I'm going.
On the menu today.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. What's the situation?
We're having tagliata, which is steak.
Beautiful.
With rosemary and lemon.
Yeah.
Done at the end.
Unreal.
It's kind of... Would you mind it a little bit rare?
Fine, okay? yeah, totally.
Okay, so we're having that. We're having them with some smashed potatoes. They're not smashed. They're just roast new potatoes. Then, but, fine. Salad, slow roasted tomatoes, some asparagus. You know, you've got, yeah.
The whole cohort.
Yeah, exactly. Whilst Mum is busy with the steak.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't really talked about food yet.
No,
really,
I know,
Jacob,
it's true.
And I kind of... thought this may be the case, and I'm loving hearing about your music. It's enthralling, it's amazing. Would you say you're a big foodie?
I would say food has always played a very essential part of my life, but the reason it's never got like under my skin is because I've never really cooked very much.
Okay.
And so I think there's an intimacy with food that you could only get from making it.
But so okay, you don't really cook.
So I don't cook, but I eat avidly, and I would say actually a huge part of my childhood, not only were the apple pies and spaghetti bolognese's and the roast chickens, all that kind of stuff. Mm. But fruit, actually. I'm a massive fruit bat.
Okay.
I always have been, always will be.
So what would be in the fruit bowl of Jacob Collier?
So many things. I mean, mango's number one. Always number one. Huge advocate of mangoes over here. Pomegranates would be number two, I'd say.
Love them.
Just like outrageous. Like
the rubies of the fruit world.
Literally, the pearls. How does that come to be?
You know, yes, I think fabulous. And then when they start putting it on savoury stuff, it just got even better, didn't it?
Yeah,
it,
I've never had a dish with pomegranate in where the pomegranate has been unwelcome. do you know what I mean? It always adds something.
Yeah, I like that.
Something to aspire to.
So maybe you need to start with pomegranate being one of your ingredients.
Yeah, that's my
when
core.
When you're cooking.
That's my core ingredient. Yeah. That'd be a unique menu I'd be offering up. I like
you
that.
You just have to go to Ottolenghi, you'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Okay.
But mangoes, pomegranates, kiwis. But I mean, it's just like the feeling of my mum cutting me an apple before school, just quartering the apple and like handing, you know, like... I can't describe the joy of that feeling. It's pure comfort for food for me. It's just you think, hey, it's a bit of an apple. So when I play shows,
and what's on the rider?
The rider is just fruit for me. You know, it's like mangoes, pomegranates, apple, and then I have like hummus and guac and a bunch of pitas or flatbreads or whatever, Grand Marnier, limoncello, root beer, and we're done.
Limoncello?
Yeah.
I guess it's a fruit.
Yes, a fruit. I think it's because it's fruit adjacent.
You are the only person that I know that is having limoncello on their rider.
Are you serious?
And you're like in your 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like a kind of like, I feel like an elderly mafioso. Like, I mean,
oh,
I'm into this.
I
love this.
I think there's like a mafioso version of limoncello, but also it's just so delicious.
Oh, I disagree with you, babe.
You don't like it?
I find it quite like medicinal.
Too tangy?
No,
say?
It's not the tang. It's like
what is it
feels
it
like
then?
It's like medicine. I don't know. So you've got limoncello. What's your other booze on your rider?
Grand Marnier, orange liqueur.
Another fruit.
I didn't realise until
Babe.
You said this. I'm obsessed. The Grand Marnier is...
What are you having with Grand Marnier?
Just neat.
Is that kind of like the musical prodigy version of like Courvoisier or something?
What's that?
Everyone, you know, all the kind of hip-hop lot have Courvoisier. It's like grab the Courvoisier, which is a brandy.
Oh, it's a brandy. Yeah.
So you have Grand Marnier. Honestly, you're blowing my mind with your rider. I'm kind of into it. Are you touring a lot this year?
Yes.
How are you feeling about
that? I adore it.
So it's okay?
I love it. I didn't used to love it.
And it changed once you included the audience and you felt... How many band members do you have now?
Six.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's seven of us on stage. We're adding one from last... Last year was six in total, so five. This year is seven in total, so six.
And what was the instrument that got added?
Guitar. Specifically, like, electric guitar. But there are actually four guitarists in the band. I'm one of them. But we all play in a different way. So it's quite a dynamic bunch of people. We also all play lots of instruments. So we often trade instruments throughout the show. It's really, really fun.
So how does it work with all your collaborations?
Yeah.
You know, how do you perform those songs? Do you have someone in the band singing the Brandy Carlile or the Shawn Mendes bit?
Yeah. I've got a really capacious.
Or do they all come out in different cities?
Well, if there's a special occasion gig,
yeah.
Like at the end of this year, I'm playing at the O2. And I'm going to try and get them all to come out for that because it's just a mad time.
Of course.
But I think for most of the time, I've got a band that's kind of specifically designed to cater for all sorts of different kinds of voices. So I've got three incredible women on the front line of my band. There's Alita Moses, who's just unbelievable R&B singer. There's Erin Bentledge, who's like an extraordinary sort of folk and jazz singer. Then there's Lindsay Lomas. So I don't know if you know Lindsay Lomas, but she's like kind of like a soul. It's like the soul and the pop and... They all have such different voices, but together the sound is unlike anything you've ever heard. So between them, they can be like Tori Kelly, or they can be like Jesse Reyes, or they can be Shawn Mendes, or they can be Michael McDonald. Like they can shapeshift, and I deliberately designed a band that could do that, kind of morph into whatever was necessary. Yeah. You know?
I'm intrigued about the audience being the choir because, I mean, it's amazing what you do.
Oh, thanks.
When did that start?
Great
question. When did you realise that you could get a whole room of potentially tone-deaf people to sing like an army of beautiful voices?
Well, I guess it began in the one-man show days,
where,
as I mentioned, it was like this process of coming out of my shell, learning about audiences. And I think when I first started out, a lot of my audiences were musicians. Like, they loved music so much.
Yes.
That was the core of my fan base when I started, so... They wanted to sing. Uh-huh. And they not only wanted to sing, they wanted to sing harmonies, right? So I'd get them to do a call and response, or I'd sing one of the songs, and they'd be singing along. So I think at a certain point, I realized, well, okay, if you guys just keep singing that, I'll loop you over, and I'll sing this, and then actually you sing this. And so I'd have two parts of the audience doing different things and stuff. And over the course of those sort of 3 years of learning, you know, this, I was sort of age 20 to 23, like figuring this out. And you learn, most people, what they lack is not skill, it's permission to give in that scenario. People know what to do. If you just say, you can do this, genuinely you can do it, they do it. And it's like magic. And if you,
it is magic. There's nothing like group singing, is there?
Nothing.
Like group dancing, group singing, it makes everyone feel happy.
It's so good for the soul. And I think for me, it was just like this realization that I was at my happiest on stage when everyone was singing in the audience.
Yeah.
I think I've always felt kind of strange about this idea that you're like, there's a hierarchy between you on the stage and you do the performance and the audience just sort of sits and has to just sit pretty and watch. It's always been really weird to me. I think, you know, I remember seeing, have you seen that Queen video from Live Aid in 1985?
Some of it.
At Wembley.
Yes.
There's this legendary moment after the first song where Freddie Mercury, I think he improvises it, but he just does this cool response. He goes like, yeah, yeah. And everyone goes, yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, 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 or whatever it is. I remember watching that as a teenager being like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Because every single person in that whole room feels welcome. They feel involved. Mm. They feel like they have an access point to the music and they are like, they feel seen. I'm like, I'm here. I'm a voice. I'm a pixel in this image, you know? So I always had that as a North Star and have just figured out techniques to make people comfortable. If they see other people around them doing it or they hear other people around them doing it, it kind of buoys them up into doing it more. It's easiest in... like proscenium theatres or like indoor venues with ceilings because when you sing, you hear it's like this reverb, basically. You hear the voices come back to you, so you, people feel even more encouraged.
Yeah.
The hardest is outdoors. So at Glastonbury,
yeah.
I literally did not know if that was going to work or not. It did work.
It
did work, and I was blown away. But I walked in front of that stage in that blazing hot, like 35-degree sunshine, yeah. and I just gave it the best I could. I was expecting it to be kind of like, okay, well, thanks so much. We tried, you know.
Did you know what you were going to get them to sing?
Yeah. I planned a route through. It's a systematic approach in the sense there are three parts to the audience. Mm. I give each part a note, and then I move each part, the note up and down, using my fingers and my eyes. So I'll say, you, up, you know. And then they go up.
But that's the thing that I found so amazing. You're not telling them what note to do.
I don't say a word. No, I don't.
That's what's so amazing. And
right.
And they know the intuition. They know.
Everybody knows. You could say enough people knows that the others will follow. And once people realize, oh, so that means you go high. And that means you go down. Then it glues together. And there's an amazing process when you say, okay, up, and then it kind of ripples, kind of goes, whoosh, as everyone like instantaneously gets it. And yeah, outdoors is always harder than indoors because there's no reflective surface. So it just kind of goes up into the heavens and that's the end of the story.
So how will the O2 be? It'll be all right.
I think it'll be awesome because there's a big old ceiling in the O2.
Apart from having like maybe a few fabulous guests in there, will you be ambitious with your audience? Because you believe in them.
I'll go all the way in. And that will be the last show of the year. So I'll be in shape at that point as well. Like I will have trained like myself up for that moment of 20,000 people.
You're being a conductor at that stage.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about food on tour.
Yes,
You've probably travelled around the world, right, by now.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you go a lot?
Do you know the city I've played most in my whole life is Tokyo.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you.
I've played the most shows in Tokyo, which is so good for many reasons, but sushi is number one for me.
Oh, the food is fantastic.
Yeah.
And do they sing? Do they go for it?
They do sing. I did a really funny gig in Osaka, actually, in 2022. And it was right when COVID was kind of ending. And there was a ban on... on audience participation, vocal audience participation, because it was expelling air.
Did you defy that?
Well, I did actually defy that, but I...
Jacob!
I know. Well, I didn't until the very, very end of the show, because basically what they said is, if you are seen to encourage singing, we'll pull the power from the show.
Okay, fine.
So
that's like your thing!
That's the show, man. Like, you can't do that. But anyway, we got to near the end of the show, and I improvised an equivalent thing with clapping. So it would be like, and they would do it. It was cool. And then right before the end of the show, I did an encore, and then I was just kind of like, and then I got away with it. And I got some fuming eyes from the security, but yeah, we got away with it.
And you've been invited back since?
I haven't played Osaka since. But I don't think it's for that reason. But yeah, Tokyo,
The food. Is there a
the
first
audiences
stop?
And the food. Gosh, the thing with Tokyo that I find magical is that you can walk into any sushi spot and it's going to be amazing.
I know.
But sometimes the best ones are the ones that aren't the fanciest looking, you know, because there's lots that look really fab and, you know, it's like, hey, come to the best sushi in town. But we found a place last time we were there. We were there in August 2023, played a show in Tokyo. Amazing. It was an amazing experience. And there was a little kind of dive sushi place really close to the hotel. And, you know, you land Tokyo from London. It's like a really long trip. You're exhausted. You don't want to get in the cab and go into Shibuya or anything. You just want to roll out the hotel and see what there is. So we found this place. And it was, I kid you not, it was the best sushi I've ever had in my life. And we went four times
on the whole trip.
It was so good.
Are you a creature of habit?
Yeah. Yeah, if I find... Yeah, my mom would definitely say this too about me. It's like, if she cooks a meal that I like once, I will just eat that meal every day. So the last 3 days, I've eaten pasta with tomato sauce because I just love it and I just don't get bored of it. And I even had leftovers for lunch today as well, pasta and sauce.
So, hon, did your mum do a big batch or you just have to, you've just requested
No,
it?
No, she did like a big batch.
And you've just been
and it, we just,
loving
we're just
it.
Just guzzling it down, you know. Look at this.
Oh, mum, that looks good. That looks good. Mm. Please help yourself, Jacob.
Thank you so much. This is just this so amazing.
Would you like some more champagne?
I could do a top of champagne.
Oh, great.
Just... When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mum, whilst you were cooking, we were talking about Jacob's places that he's touring loads.
Do you like Japan?
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
Why?
I think what fascinates me about Japan is the underbelly. Because on the top, it's very clean, organised, people are very hardworking, very respectful. And then when you dig in, they're underneath, it's like crazy.
Bonkers.
Crazy. You know, there's like, there's robot kind of
DJ sets. Did you go to the robot show?
No, I didn't. Not this last time. But I've heard such legendary things about them. And they're just, it's just bananas. You know, even just karaokeing in Japan, it's just another level.
Which leads us actually onto a question that we ask everybody. We usually ask
at
the end.
That's my favourite.
Go on, Lenny.
Do you like karaoke? Well, you probably do if you're in Japan.
Yeah, I...
Do you ever do it?
I never really seek it out, but when I find myself in it, I'm always kind of like, I forget that this is fun, you know.
What's your song?
I've sung A Whole New World, actually, speaking of Disney, A Whole New World. And I've never been to a karaoke bar where I've had to perform a song by myself. So I tend to do A Whole New World with there's one particular friend of mine, his name is Michael, who sings I sing the girl part, he sings the boy part. Really, really fun.
It's not you and Michael McDonald doing bloody karaoke.
No, it's not Michael McDonald, no, it's not. But that does sound like a fun day out.
What would be your karaoke song, Jess?
Whenever somebody else says one, I'm like, oh, that is a good one. I don't really like the rapping thing, doing that.
Do you rap?
I mean, I rap in a Jacob-y way, I suppose.
Does Stormzy rap?
Yes, Mum.
He does.
He also sings.
Stormzy. But I've heard him sing.
Stormzy raps better than almost anyone in the world.
Mm. Really?
Oh, yeah.
He works with Jacob a lot.
Yeah, I love that man.
Did you get him into singing?
No. But I did. Well, I made his latest album that came out. It's called This Is What I Mean. He was made on this island, OC Island, which is off the east coast of Essex, I think. It's a crazy, beautiful place. You can only get to the island during about 2 hours of the 24-hour cycle because the ocean covers up the road. So once you're on there, you're basically just on there. And Stormzy assembled his kind of like A team of producers, arrangers, songwriters, artists to help him craft this album. And to my total amazement and delight, he invited me to go. So I went to this island, 2021, and he played me some demos where he was singing, you know, and he's got this beautiful voice.
Very vulnerable.
Really, just like straight from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of entrusted me with a few of those songs to kind of decorate around him, to sing and to bolster him up. So I got to know his voice quite well on that trip. And so when I was finishing this song of mine, which is called Witness Me, that came out recently with Sean and Stormzy and Kirk Franklin, I kind of knew I wanted him to sing a chorus because I know what that meant.
Mm.
But yeah, he's really a rap titan, this Stormzy.
Have you done any film scores?
I have done a few film scores, yeah. Yeah, here and there.
Films that I'd know.
Do you know the Boss Baby films?
Yes.
So I've actually, in Boss Baby 2, I scored there's a whole scene where the characters are jumping around in this musical, which I scored myself. And then the Boss Baby 1, I helped out her in there. But I'm a good friend of Hans Zimmer's, so Hans will often call me up and say, "Hey, I need a little bit of sprinklage, you know, on here and there," and so I tend to oblige.
Christ. What fun!
Jacob. Really, really fun. Really fun.
If you could live in any other period for music, I feel that you enjoy this time of music because I think you enjoy all the technology. But if there was another time in music, when would it be?
Mm.
See, I feel privileged because I was born in the 50s and grew up in the 60s.
Yeah, you've got a good.
And
that's a good haul.
I think, you know, living the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, David Bowie. I mean, what more could you want? And then all the black music that was so wonderful.
Stevie and then Prince and Earth, Wind & Fire. I mean, I'd probably go back then, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean, just as a listener, as a lover of listening to music. As someone who makes music, there's just no better time than now.
Food, Jacob.
Okay, Last Supper.
Darling, more wine Last for Supper. Your mother.
Last Supper.
Last this starter. This is hard. This
no,
is,
it's not that hard,
it is,
Jacob.
It is a hard question.
Come on, okay.
Okay, starter. What's it called in sushi when you have the... Is it yellowtail?
Yeah.
That you get on the... It's like it comes flat on the plate.
Yeah.
With and it's so like it's just so flavoursome. There is a name for that. I don't think I know it.
What, like the sashimi yellowtail that you'll have like without the rice? You have it with the kind of almost like, is it ponzu sauce or yuzu? Like,
Yeah, there's some, it's something like that. It's
maybe
not,
a jalapeno's on there?
I think it might be that. Okay. It's not like, it's not straight sashimi. It's like, I always seem to get it at the beginning of a meal in sushi, but that starter... Like little, whatever it is, yellowtail or something on the plate with all this amazing flavour. That is it just gets no better for me than that.
Where have you had the best yellowtail?
It's either Los Angeles or Tokyo.
Okay, tell me your Los Angeles spot.
It's called Kanpai.
Oh.
There are two Kanpais in LA. One of them is the one, and the other one is also great, but it's not the one. The one, I think it's actually near LAX, Kanpai.
Kanpai, who took you there?
My dear friend and first manager, Adam Fell, who's still on my management team, he's obsessed. He's obsessed.
Okay.
And so we went there. They have like a room at the back.
Jess, you need to get there, darling.
You have the omakase Adam, and you're like,
oh, there's the whole haunt. And it's because Adam knows the owner. The owner is a huge fan of Quincy Jones. And Quincy Jones is Adam's boss. So Quincy was my manager, in the sense, my first manager.
Quincy was your first manager?
Well, yeah, I signed to Quincy Jones Management. That was how I kind of began my journey.
Lefleur.
I mean, he's the greatest. So
Where did you meet him?
I met him in Montreux, Switzerland. Because,
at a jazz festival?
Yeah, because he saw a YouTube video that I made. Yeah, it reached him, and he also reached Herbie Hancock, who's another one of my absolute heroes.
Me too.
And I flew to Montreux 2014. When I was 19 years old, and I met both of them there.
Were you performing in Montreux Jazz Festival?
I just went to meet them.
Oh my God, this is so romantic and fab.
I just went to meet them. So Quincy flew me out. Can you imagine? Quincy flies me to Montreux.
What did your mum say?
Well, I'd never been on a plane by myself, you know. It was like...
You were an unaccompanied minor, almost. Well, you weren't minor.
I was 19, Jessie.
I was 19.
Did you go on your own?
I did go on my own.
That's really brave. I would have been terrified.
It was a little scary, but I went on my own. I met the great man. I met both of them. And I ended up playing in the jam session. They have a Montreux jam session. It's a legendary jam session. I ended up playing a little jazz tune called My Funny Valentine, which I played on the piano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Quincy got up before I sang. He said, hey, this guy is, to me, this is the future of... What everything I love about music. This is Jacob Collier. And that was the first time I'd ever been introduced ever in public. And I played that tune and it...
Did you sing as well?
I sang it. Yeah, I played and sang My Funny Valentine and all this stuff. And it was just a moment. It was just a moment.
Oh my God.
And so I began working with them kind of shortly after that. I was really hesitant about it all. I didn't want to go into the music industry and be a big star and have someone take me under their wing and sign to a label. I just wanted to do the thing I wanted to do. And Quincy was... Just this amazing guy who was able to say, you do you, Jacob. You know, I'm not going to get in the way. And it was for that reason that he got me, you know. So I signed with his team. Adam has been president of that company for 20 years or so. And the guy who owns Kanpai is a huge Quincy Jones fan.
Okay.
Close friend of Adam's. So Adam always gets the special back room of the restaurant.
Love this.
Yellowtail.
That is a very cool starter, Jacob. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
We've got a little pud for you.
Mm.
Actually, Mum... You couldn't have played this better for Jacob.
Right here.
Because he likes fruit.
I adore fruit.
So it's just fruit, babe. This is very serendipitous.
Here, darling.
What have we got?
It's just little compote, really. With apple and black.
But I feel like that will do you nicely.
Perfecto.
And this is coconut yogurt.
Oh yeah, I'll get
to that. So does that mean it's not dairy? It's dairy.
It's dairy.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Terrified.
I'm so terrified. Just one, darling. Right, you've got a spoon, and that's coconut, whatever it is.
Maine.
It's so hard to say. I'd probably say the main would be spaghetti bolognese.
You know what? You and Michael McIntyre, babe.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm
love
a good company.
Ball,
okay.
It's one of my favourites.
Homemade spout. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that.
Does your mum do anything particular?
But how do you manage without parmesan?
Oh, it's fine. It's great. Well, first of all, look, dairy-free cheese is getting on a pretty good level nowadays, so that's one thing. But I think when my mum does a tomato sauce of any kind, it's just so many good vegetables in there. And it's just, it's stacked full of just deliciousness.
You never tasted Parmesan.
I have tasted Parmesan.
Of course he has. Yeah. He probably just gets the shits, Mum.
Do you not like it?
It's just like, I don't know, the smell's kind of weird for me.
Oh, you see.
And the texture's kind of, I don't know. I think unless you get the bug, it's, I mean, maybe it's like Disney and all these other things.
It's like cheese and Disney.
Unless it hits you early, and chocolate. Unless it hits you early, it's like it doesn't get under your skin, and then you don't crave it, and then it's like, do I really need it? Probably not, you know.
Well, everyone needs Disney.
Everyone needs Disney. I love Disney so much.
Right. Okay. Main bolognese.
This has no sugar in.
My mum would yeah. be proud.
It's really nice, Mum. It's really refreshing, and just yummy. Thanks.
That has definitely got,
that's got okay, dairy, okay, but I'll stick coconut. With the coconut.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I love that little expression.
What?
Tastes like no udder.
Yeah, it's good. Tastes like no udder.
So pudding, is it going to be your mum's apple pie?
I would say so, but I would say, can I do like
yes.
two puddings?
Okay. Of course you can.
So it'll be my mum's homemade apple pie with, honestly, probably just like a massive fruit, like the best fruit platter in the world. Just like all the stuff. We've got pomegranates, you've got mangoes, you've got berries, kiwis, you got everything, with Bailey's ice cream.
Oh, I love Bailey's. But how can you have that?
I can't, but I do. This is my last supper ever. Give me a chance.
Okay. Yeah. So, Bailey's ice cream, yeah. Jacob Collier.
Come on, what can I say? That's it.
It's like, I'm now like, I don't know, it's like kind of looking at you like you're Pat Butcher now or something. Right. Like it.
It's a twist.
So what would be your drink of choice? Would it be?
Throughout the meal?
Limoncello.
You can change it up, babes.
Let's start with dessert.
Okay.
Sautern.
Oh, I love Sautern.
Is that a dessert wine?
Sweet white wine.
Sautern is the greatest for me. I love it so much.
But you know, in the old days, my auntie used to bring Sautern for our Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
When, before we have people drank. That's what we do.
Huge fan.
So, we're working backwards.
So that's my dessert drink. For main, what am I having? Bolognese.
You have sake with your yellowfin.
Hold on, we're not there yet. We're going backwards.
That's the start of that. No, yeah. we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Get to that in a second. For my main meal for bolognese.
Yeah.
Not red wine.
Just let the guy speak.
I'm trying to help him.
No, red wine's a great shout. Maybe a dark red one would be quite nice. I'm also just a huge root beer fan. Do you know about root beer?
I mean, I can't say I've partaken in it.
Really?
So no.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I don't think I've ever tried root beer.
It's another one of these. It's quite polarizing. It's some people just cannot
be
that.
Where did you have root beer? And who were you, which jazz legend were you with having a root beer?
Well, I first had root beer in Los Angeles in 2006.
Who got you into root beer?
I think it was just on tap at the diner we were at. And I thought, oh yeah, I'll try that.
Did you have a float? Did you have ice cream?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, not the first time, but then I got into root beer floats later. But root beer is made out of licorice.
Okay.
It's not for everyone, but it's for me. It's for me, okay. For sure. Maybe I'd have root beer with the main. Do you know what? Either root beer or...
Yeah.
There's a really like prevalent soda in Vienna, Austria.
Yeah.
Called Almdudler. It's only in Austria.
What is it?
And I played a show in Vienna in the summer this year, and it was in my hotel room. There was a bottle of this Almdudler. Honestly, I think I'd actually say Almdudler over root beer, though I love root beer. Almdudler, it's like a combination of all my favourite stuff. It's kind of like an elderflowery, gingery.
Ooh, lovely.
Like a lemonade-y, kind of like a bit like appetizer-y. It's just like
an appetizer.
Oh yeah, but it's just such a great combination of all these different drinks, and it just slaps. And it's like refreshing.
Could you what spirit could you have with that?
Honestly, it would work? Anything. You could totally mix that with whiskey. You could mix it with rum. I probably mix it with rum. That's what I do.
Rum.
Yeah, because it has like the rounded sweetness. You know.
Sounds great. What's it called?
That was it. Almdudler. I loved it so much that I ordered like a crate.
Yeah.
I imported a crate from Vienna to London. And I have it in my house.
Have you drunk all of it?
I've drunk about half of it, and the crate arrived in the summer, and I haven't been home that much, so that's my excuse.
Okay.
I love that. Okay.
It's great. So, and then for starter.
It's not like when you buy ouzo in Greece and then you drink
like
it.
Crap.
It tastes terrible when you're not by the sea.
I've had that exact experience with ouzo, actually. No, but for starter, I mean, like sake is the obvious choice, but honestly, like we had champagne today, which is delicious. Kir Royale. Do you know Kir Royale?
Yeah. Like, champagne with a little blackcurrant.
Oh, it's a little fruity thing, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Blackcurrant, disease, yeah. Jacob Collier, that was a decent Last Supper.
I would say it was eclectic.
Much like
global.
Our mate here.
Global.
Global, I love it. I love it. I can
Global dinner.
That.
If we were going to come over to your house.
Yeah. You're welcome anytime.
Thanks.
By the way.
Do a sesh.
Yeah.
What would you cook for us, Jacob?
Me cook for you.
Oh God, you look terrified. That's like somebody saying to you, "Go and do improvise." Like, you go and do a jam. I'm like, me. Okay,
yeah,
so
that's how he feels. He doesn't
cook.
I mean, I would make you beans on toast.
I like beans on toast.
Delicious. Or crumpets and tomato soup.
Crumpets
you have with your tomato soup. Yeah.
What's
like
your favourite tomato soup? Just Heinz.
Might be the Heinz, yeah. Yeah. For me, it's still out rocks. Heinz tomato soup rocks. Dip the crumpet in, and it kind of goes in the holes of the crumpet.
Yeah.
Great. Really good.
Are you a Marmite fan?
Never really got into it. But I wouldn't say I'm, like, averse to Marmite, like all the, like,
no,
like,
yeah,
the, like
love
the,
it
that
or
whole
hate
squat.
It, yeah.
Yeah, I've never really had a chance to properly judge it, maybe.
Are you going to Australia anytime soon?
Maybe next year, I think.
Vegemite, try that. Maybe you'll prefer that.
Vegemite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slightly less oomphy.
Jesse loves the food in Australia.
Oh, my God, the food.
Me too. Oh, Melbourne is just...
It's so
lobster
good.
Roll.
Melbourne's like New York a bit. It's just like you kind of go anywhere and it's going to be stunning. The thing about Melbourne, which I love, is that every single cafe is like a one-off hipster experience. There's not like chains in the same way.
I love it.
It's just, and you know you're in for a treat no matter where you end up. It's going to be amazing.
Where are you most looking forward to eating on your tour?
Great question.
Is it Japan? Or is there anywhere else that you're going?
This
like,
year,
okay.
I don't think, I'm not sure I'm going to go to Japan this year. I think I might swing by Korea this year.
Swing by, love that. Get some face masks, babe. Best skincare, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hydrate that skin on those long holes.
Jesse,
there you go.
That's where your brother wants to go.
I really want to go to Seoul.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I might be going in March.
How fun!
Yeah, just for promo actually, because this amazing group is Aespa. Do you know Aespa? They're like a K-pop supergroup of today. They're
K-pop.
Absolutely wild.
Are they on your record?
They are. There's a song with Chris Martin and Aespa.
Crikey!
Yeah, and it's quite a combination.
You're just literally
how did you
in every
combine them?
Oh my God, that's like a supergroup.
It's wild.
So
it's
have you
wild.
Met Chris Martin? Yeah,
he's one of my dearest friends.
Is he lovely?
He's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, but because Aespa are just so like they're so massive in Korea, we're going to go to Korea in March and try and shoot some video stuff with them and get all that going. And I love it.
Good luck with the record.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
You too.
You're
so amazing.
Yeah, you're amazing. You're inspiring. It's so exciting to see what's going on with you and the collaborations and just how lovely you are.
Oh.
I'm still cracking up about your ocarina, somebody thinking it's a fucking vape.
It was amazing.
That is the best
Can
story.
Can you just give us another quick blow on
that? Yeah, okay, here we go.
Wow.
Jacob Collier,
there
JC.
You
thanks. Thank you
thanks
so much for coming.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous time.
Wow.
What a lovely man.
He's just incredible. Just astonishingly bright,
optimistic,
clever,
positive. Jacob Collier, thank you so much for coming on and just being so wonderful. I think maybe he should learn how to boil an egg when he gets home.
Well, he's all right with baked beans, so yeah. He'll be fine.
Jacob's album, Jesse Volume 4, is out on February the 29th, and his new single is out with Camilla, Mi Corazón, is out now. Thanks, Jacob, for coming. I just said to his manager, I was like, does he change your mood? Because I can imagine if you're with somebody so uplifting and positive, it stops you being in a strop.
Yeah.
We all need a bit of Jacob Collier in our life.
Yeah, I think we do.
Right, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.